Okay, we're holding here in Vayikra. Obviously, Tamei HaKorbanos are taking up the big part of the parsha. We have seen already the Rambam, Ramban, Rabbeinu Bechai, and so on. We're going to see more Rishonim. They are, each one adds different nuances. In the big picture, everything is a certain closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we'd rather try to understand a little bit more the nuances, differences. So, on page 596 in the Sefer, we have a Balakeda. So he says like this: Alashni Omer she'inya be'mshavim vua bulti muska v'zer kimoi she'yushlam b'riyas agufa adei hamazonos u'b'riyos se'yelo sholim nafshev didavik elav kenya inyan be'la korbanos. Now he says the first thing is we need to understand that there's a parallel between the act of Karbanis, which focuses around a food-like type of avoda. It's meat, it's brought on a mizbeach, parts of it are eaten, it's wine, it's bread. There are all sorts of elements of food. We find that food has a very strange property. It makes the body run. That's not strange. The body is very physical, and therefore you put in fuel and whatever else it is, materials, and the body is good with it. But also the soul hangs on. One cannot say, since a soul does not eat or drink, so why can't the soul exist even after the body is dead or hasn't eaten? The answer is, whatever it is, food carries in itself a sort of dual property. It physically enhances the guf and allows for the neshama to be there. He says the same thing is true about karbanas. He says it gives a certain shleimus and health, as it were, to Klal Yisrael, so that there can be a dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So just like when I eat, my body receives sustenance, and the neshama lives off that sustenance. The neshama attaches itself. So too, Klal Yisrael, when they do an avod of karbanis, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu attaches himself through that. So he says, "V'hu kemi yedua shenefesh hatzula v'misatzemes ba'adam hashalem v'aziris v'shtadluso." So he says, just like the neshama itself feeds off something else, and he's going to explain in a minute what it is. Vehine kemoishem nidolz mimuseyem kach nidol mizonaseyem. Asubem yispainos of yiskayim zalaguf. The different elements of the person, the physical and the spiritual, feed off different elements of the food that's coming in. The physical part of the person, what he calls Nefesh HaYunis, it's the actual bread and butter that makes him healthy and well. But he says, but the neshama can only get something from something which exists in the realm of thought, feeling, and so on. So we're going to have two different needs, but they're met in the same act by two different aspects of that act. V'chein, next paragraph. V'chol ma sheyochol v'yishta yesh lo mani yofi mecheres lo im shetia suda shal mitzvah o yishecha mitzvah atlis v'suda hi mekasa macholim. And so on. He says, within every act of eating that carries within itself a dimension of mitzvah, then the neshama has sustenance from that dimension of mitzvah. Let's give an example in a very different way. A person is hungry, and he goes to a... he walks by a store, picks up a wrap sandwich, and eats the sandwich. So he was hungry, and now he feels good. Let's take the same person who is hungry and a little lonely and down, and he goes to a wedding. And he comes back in very good spirits. So in the meal that was served at the wedding, the chicken made him full, or maybe smorgasbord, as you wish, and it's the associate elements with that piece of chicken, the company, the music, the sense of simcha pervading the hall, the chasen kala, provided a boost to his spirit. So on one level, you're right to say that the meal provided him with both physical and emotional nourishment, but you'd really have to sort of analyze the meal and divide into its components to explain what each one does. So if a person eats a piece of chicken, then he gets, his body gets sustenance from it. If he eats the chicken with making a bracha on it, with sudashal mitzvah, and so on, his neshama gets the same type of sustenance for itself as the body does. Kadosh Baruch Hu created an intertwining of the two worlds so that the ruchnistike experience of that which is associated with the eating of eating provides the same nourishment as the eating itself. So he says, So those kavanis and those feelings, those understandings will sustain the neshama. So he says a tremendous pshat. This is actually a pshat that Chassidim have later adapted with a little bit of different lashon, but we'll say it the way he says it, I guess, and the way Chassidim say it, but it's fascinating that this is actually a place where it says, Kiloya lalechem levado yichi adam, ki al kol moitze pi Hashem yichi adam. A person does not live by bread alone, a person lives by the command of Hashem. The pashut pshat is that no matter that a person's own efforts and a person's own input do not give the person sustenance, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, and so on, the Chassidim say, I'll say it in the extreme lashon of the Chassidim, Baal Tanya says it, and in their lashon, and the Rebbe says it a little bit more subtly. The Baal Tanya says, how could it be that the neshama gets hanoah from a steak? What in a steak could feed a neshama? So he says, in every food, there is the Dvar Hashem of that commanded that there shall be behemoths in the world, that this particular animal is such and such an animal. Every physical being has a ruchnistik dimension that went into its creation, and that's called the Pi Hashem, the Mitzvah Pi Hashem. It's the Yehi Or that created light. It's the Kova Mayan that created oceans and so on. That Dvar Hashem isn't everything. The food sustains the body, the physical substance of food sustains the body. The Dvar Hashem sustains the neshama. That is the way the Baal Tanya describes it. He doesn't quite say it in such vivid language, but he says, Ki al kol moitze pi Hashem yichadam means it's the ruchniyistic experience that may be associated with that food. If it's a karma, if it's a sudashal mitzvah, if there's a bracha on it, and so on, that's what Evahum Hashem Chavai Chazal say, Kol ha'oichol misuda shenene batam chachim, kil nenem zivashchuna. If a person eats from a suda tam chachim, it's as if he's nenem zivashchina. Ki ha'seichol ha'netzal huvare tam et chachim ha'muva kam eitze b'roish. Because chachma, tam chachim represents this chachma, v'olava ma'chachim kiteshe v'luchem es moishol, be'itam es ha'shofa necha, v'sam tesak m'la'acha, and so on. Basically, let's translate what he's saying into something that's meaningful to us. When we say if a person eats a suda shem tam chacham, so by chassidim they take it very literally. And so if the rabbi ate a piece of kugel, all the chassidim grab kugel, and they all feel this tremendous kedusha and so on in that piece of kugel. I'm not in a position to pass judgment on that. But if I needed to explain this balakeda, it means, when a person eats in a suda, together with amaratzim, together with very prusta people, then the ruchnistic dimension of that suda is very down. And the hanor a person has is from the food itself, and that's it, which is not very, very good. But if the if a person eats a suda of Talmidei Chachamim, which means that a person is being nana, a suda of a Talmud Chacham is a suda that has rich spiritual content to it. It's a suda that the chicken is the basis for it, but the Divrei Torah, Divrei Chachma, and Kirvas Halavavos is the content of it. So when you have that type of hanor, there you have some experience of Nerem Zev Hashchina. Yes?
It's fitting with the Mishnah of Pirkei Avot, if that's something. People who eat and they don't have Divrei Torah. So
correct. Of course.
Zivchemesim
means because there's no life force within that item, within that element. Correct. V'zeh inyan nichbad ma'oid. Damiti. Yushla minyana b'mkoy mishal zacharnu. This is really the way to understand it, how it is that the Shechina remains in Chayisol. It's not because there's food for the Shechina and for Chayisol, it's absurd. It's when they have the right kavanas and it evokes a certain desire to be better, that it creates the elements needed to keep Shechina Chai Yisrael. So he says, in karbonis are the physical platform is food, because that is the koach hachiyus in our physical world. The ruchnistic platform for that is the ruchnis of it is the kavan and the machshavas and so on in it. Okay, let's see. The next one is the Barbanel, and the Barbanel's point is, we'll try to skim through it because they tend to repeat themselves a bit. He says he's seen v'risen if divrechel nachroinim das acha betachas kavanas. The Barbanel, as usual, brings all the sheets beforehand. The Meirich explains what he likes for each one, what doesn't like for each one. So he says that he brings down a shita that karbanis bring a person closer, and the way in which it's brought down is sort of a generic reason that fits all karbanis. In the second paragraph, he says, "V'amnon daiti bazeh." Shein roi losis tachos echol mina karbanis. Ki hine atzuris yimosh achem atachlius, ube yosuris kvans mischalfos, yubechei atachliusem gaki mischalfos. He says, I don't believe that all karbanis should have the same reason. They are different. And each one should have a more specific detail about what the meaning is. I guess if we can say the same thing, if someone asks you, what's the time of mitzvahs? So a person can say, the time of mitzvahs, very simple, there's one time, to bring you closer to Hashem, or to do the bidding of Hashem. It's hard to deny it, but it's not very informative as to why there's 613 mitzvahs, and are they all the same, or each one has its own particular nuance of how it does it? Same with karbanis. Karbanis come in different variations. And therefore he says, Valkena marti, shem shloshim ne karbanis. I would like to divide into three different categories. One is Karban Ola, the second is Chatas and Asham, which both of them are an Averis. The distinction really is much more specific. And third of all, Vashlishem Shlom and Chasam. And therefore he says, I would like to give three different ways in which each one brings it closer to Hashem. So we'll, the first one is, Vehine Tachas Olahu. A karma ola represents a total negation of the physical and a connection. In other words, fire and smoke and is something which is totally so spiritual or non-physical. So a karm ola, it completely consumes the physical and it leaves only something which is kind of trivial, kind of vapid. It is vapid and so on. And that is, a karm ola is to connect the seichel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no eating and drinking with it. There's no chet really associated with it. Ola is called ritzui. So all these elements tell me that an ola is a pure avoda of spiritual connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He explains, and he brings this down, he says, you know, it was consumed by a fire. So this like the slaughtered animal was totally consumed by the fire, and so on and so forth. And that's why it's called an ola, Torah al nefesh ha'adam ha'ola hilamala. It's sort of the part of the person that rises up above. With there's a chazal, skimming down, ein ola bal hiralev. It says an ola comes when a person's aveira is in hiralev. So even though there's only Yehurei Alev, you know, the a person's Yehurei Alev is not, it's not an affair on the physical level, but it's spiritually and pneumistic, the person is lacking something.
I mean, doesn't it also come on a bit of essay?
Yeah. Which a bit of essay is also, it's what I could have done. A bittle of an essay is not a physical problem. It's a problem, why didn't you get yourself to do it? It's not what I did. When I ask somebody, why didn't you get up this morning, I'm addressing his seichel and rotzen rather than how did you steal. I'm saying your hands did something wrong. And if you didn't get up this morning, I didn't say your body did something wrong. I said your mind did not do something right. So it's also that type of thing. Then he says, and he brings all of the different elements, and all of that's a zachar, and that's kol, and so on and so forth. Then he says, next paragraph, v'liyat kar ma'ola b'v'chinas ha'neshama sichlis, she'atos adam, being that this is the core person, ama kasev adam kiyak mekem kar ma'ashem, atzoleim ha'shem mehem v'atzmusa miyakar mehi. So a karma has to be from, it's the person himself. It is the closest, a karma ola is the closest to the atmos of a person. I skipped through, he goes through a big arichus, which we skipped here. I want to leave off this piece with the final point of his. He says, so you have different reasons for karbanis. In the big picture, they all are a certain kirvat HaKadosh Baruch, obviously. But shlamim is a it comes from the desire to give imidas and adibas v'atzo b'nidah l'kim b'li kilos and avala. Shlamim is a type of thing where I need to be large, not restrain myself. It's sort of an expense to eat. I'm still dealing in the world of eating, and yet I have room for the kohanim get food and everybody eats it. Im Shleimus Hemunis, which is Ola, which teaches us the neshama of a person, Hisharus HaNefesh Libuka. And Chatas and Osham teaches a person Hashkacha and Schar and so on and so forth. So we have three things here, two or three things. No, all three things described. There's one more point he makes here that I think is an extraordinary point. Could have been a modern psychologist. Umelvat calls that, the last three lines of Avnel. Hoyab is a Te'elos Rab. There's a tremendous Te'elos. One of the problems we have when we do tshuva, since there is no mice associated with it, it's sort of bakoshes and viduyim and so on, is we don't have a definitive sense of closure. Because anytime something is totally in machshava, or even dibur, just like a kinyan, is not consummated until you don't do a maisa, a person's sense of things is never gets closure until there hasn't been a certain maisa, and that's why it's so important for us to be able to incorporate a maisa that having done this, the Torah now considers you mechuper. I want to extend this in different areas because it's just important. Let's see what he says here. Kibizula says, "Im yashos ev Hashem eslach lo." If a person walks around with the feeling I did something terrible, Kadosh Baruch Hu will never ever forgive me. Yisya'ish min arachmim v'yosiv al chatoso pesha. What will happen is, and when a person doesn't feel a sense of closure, so first glance you say, that's fantastic, let him know how terrible, how wicked, and that. The answer is no. A person who feels that his sins are still hanging at a point says to himself, listen, what's the point of it? I'm a sinner. Once I'm going to Gehenna, at least I might as well enjoy this world. It doesn't bring out the good in the person. A karbanis is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that after my machshava is in place, after I said my vidu, and after I rock and so on, I can do a maisa, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said, v'nekapeloi. It's it. It's over. Finished. I want to extend a little bit to something else. It might seem a bit far afield. It used to, people once upon a time would hit children, and that's considered to be horribly barbaric and so on and so forth. The only thing civilized is manna says, two grown-ups pummeling each other to death in a ring or in a football field, but with a child for chinuch, it's considered to be highly barbaric, and we don't do it. Instead, we talk and warn and explain and so on. There's a very fascinating braisa. The braisa is in the braisa Maseches Machos. It says a person should never think the lashon is warn a child. There's maisa, somebody warned the child for something wrong, he says, I will yet, you know, get back at you, I will yet punish you for it, and the child committed suicide. Doesn't say what age the child was, doesn't say what it was, but the idea is something that's hanging in the air is much worse than it's having been done. Sometimes, you know, when we speak about somebody does something bad and he sits in jail, and we say he repaid his debt to society. So at first glance, it's absurd. I mean, he didn't owe society 5 years in jail. He might have killed somebody. He might have stolen a lot of money. He might have, who knows what. The 5 years in jail is, I mean, it's not the debt to society. The word debt in society is kind of a misnomer. But there is, in a sense, the feeling of at least there's an atonement. A maisa allows for that sense. And it's not only for a person to feel good. One might make the point that a person of Averis, Chatasi Nekritamit. But for most of us, it is highly counterproductive. Because at the end of the day, the sense of ongoing Avera, when a person's suit is sparkling clean, he makes an effort to keep it clean. If a person has 3 stains on a suit, the difference between 3 stains and 6 stains is negligible. And I certainly have no pride to say, well, right now it looks horrible, but it'll look horrendous if you have more stains. That distinction is kind of lost on us, certainly emotionally. So he says over here that the tachlis of Karbanis was, we were able to live in a period when we could come, bring something, and know that it's over with. And that is an extraordinarily valuable gift, to be able to have this feeling, and then we can go on and say, I'm brand new, I'm kadosh, I'm good, and I could be perfect. Okay, just briefly, let's touch on two more points that Rabbeinu B'chaya, it's al pi kavala. We're not going to go into it, but briefly, it's both the Ramban and Rabbeinu B'chaya that give a tam al pi kavala. Let me just explain, basically, in a brief way, what they both say. They both point out, and usually, as a rule, Rabbeinu B'chaya a lot of times tends to elaborate on Ramban's points. He, generally speaking, Rabbeinu B'chaya brings others and he elaborates. He says things that sometimes are just the exact explanation, sometimes a little bit different, but in the same Ruach HaDvar. Ramban points out that one is not allowed to use any shame of Hashem in bringing Karbanis except for Yud Kei Vav Kei. You can't use Kael, you can't use Elohim, and so on and so forth. The Rabbeinu B'chaya elaborates on it, and it shows even the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, how you go from the last Hei to the Vav, to the Hei to the Yud. The point is as follows. When I bring When the government taxes everything I do, and I give tax to the government, in a certain sense, I'm expressing their sovereignty over all those elements that they can tax. The bringing back the things to its shoresh is really what the entire scope of Avodas Hashem is. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manifest in the Bria in many ways. The first recognition of some divine force expresses itself in seeing in Avodah Zarah. So I look at everything as being its own force. And let's take something, we're talking about Avodah Zarah, which is long gone, and we think it's stupid. Let's take something very, very pashut. When we're sitting in Beis Medrash, and somebody, and there's somebody's money laying around, we wouldn't touch it, and it's wrong, and it's usher, and so on. We're in the business. We say, listen, that's how you got to do business. It's a different world, and it's got its own dynamics. You don't work on Shabbos, you don't have parnasa, and so on. Medically, you're supposed to do X, Y, or Z, which you're not to, or that's what the doctor says you should do. It's different. It's a different world. The doctor says there's no hope for him, so we don't do anything to treat him. Each world and each dimension of the world comes with its own dynamics, quite readily appears to be divested from God. There's a natural order of things, and within nature, God does not appear, and so on. The big umbrella of all avoda is to show or to demonstrate or to proclaim, at least, the threads that go back to the source. That's what Avodas Hashem is all about, and that's called being Viyachat Shem Hashem. Karbonis is a direct act of saying, Rebbeinu Shalom, all that I've accrued, all my feelings, all my heart, and all my understandings are to you. It's an act of so giving back, connecting everything back to its root. That's why it is, and that's why it's so important that it be the pure name of Hashem. Because the tachos of this avod is to take all the elokims in the world and bring it back to its root. And sending it through in tefillah, you're not allowed to be mechaven to anything but yud kei vav kei. Even though we understand that malachim run many aspects of the world, but we don't worship or beseech or do anything like that. So therefore, the karbanis all carry that tachos. In a nutshell, that's. There's a lot of nuances and information, but for us that's quite appropriate to take away from Ben Amichai and Rabbah. Okay.